You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
While speaking at the 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly over the weekend, Foreign Minister Winston Peters announced that New Zealand would not be recognizing a Palestinian state at this point in time. Peters' rationale was that Hamas's leadership in Gaza would make recognizing Palestine an unwise move for New Zealand, additionally stating that it could trigger a reaction from Israel that would lead to more aggressive policies in both Gaza and the West Bank. However, with more than 40% of New Zealand public expressing support for Palestinian recognition and for stronger action to be taken against Israel for their actions in Gaza, which the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the occupied Palestinian territories has referred to as a genocide, this decision by Peters has been the subject of widespread controversy amongst activists, experts, and a large portion of the general public. Additionally, despite claiming to take a more balanced and calculated approach to Israel's genocide in Gaza, Winston Peters' decision at the UN General Assembly has placed New Zealand amongst a small handful of Western nations that have refused to recognize Palestine, with the United Kingdom, France, Canada, and our close ally Australia all announcing their recognition of Palestine shortly before. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we speak to him about Foreign Minister Winston Peters' decision not to recognize Palestine at the UN General Assembly. We also spoke to him about the government's decision last week to resume oil and gas exploration across Aotearoa. To begin, what was the Green Party's reaction to Winston Peters' announcement that New Zealand would not be recognizing a Palestinian state at the UN General Assembly?
Not only is Winston Peters factually incorrect when he's making those statements, it's morally repugnant that we are choosing to effectively, rather than genuinely pursuing an independent foreign policy based on values of justice, of being against genocides, of peace, to effectively take sides with the US, who is facilitating and enabling this genocide. There's nothing independent about the position that we have taken. If anything, it simply enables Israel and facilitates the US's involvement in this horrible, horrible genocide that we are witnessing. It's a real shame that we are in the wrong side of history and in this point of time.
So just going off of that, there are claims that Peter's decision to not recognize Palestine was to prioritize trade relations with the United States. Do you think that this is a more likely reason for Peter's decision?
Well, we are kowtowing to the U.S., and it's a real shame that the government is choosing to take this uncritical approach to Palestinian statehood recognition, because siding with the U.S. is not even getting us at any economic gains. We're being continuously slapped with tariffs, and independent of our relationship with the U.S., we should be taking foreign policy positions that are grounded on values of justice, peace, and recognizing the dignity that Palestinians inherently have. The recognition of Palestinian statehood is something we could do on top of introducing things like sanctions and joining the ICJ case as well.
Additionally, what do you make of Peter's justification that Hamas's involvement in Gaza invalidates the legitimacy of a Palestinian state? Do you think that there's a valid reason for the government to not recognize Palestine on this basis?
Absolutely not, because at the end of the day, what we are doing is taking away the ability for Palestinians to make decisions on what sovereignty looks like and what the future of their nation looks like. So long as we continue not recognizing Palestinian statehood here, it makes that level of diplomacy and work towards Palestinian sovereignty a lot harder. And all that we are doing is enabling Israel's position, which is that they do not support a two-state solution. The government has made that incredibly clear. And one of the few ways that we can push against that is by having a clear majority of the world, which is now where we're at, excluding New Zealand, the United States, and a handful of nations, recognizing Palestinian statehood. That in and of itself puts pressure on Israel to work towards a genuine solution that does grant Palestinians the sovereignty that they deserve.
Additionally, a recent RNZ Reed research poll found that more than 40% of New Zealanders, who made up the largest block of respondents, supported Palestinian recognition and wanted stronger action to be taken against Israel for their actions in Gaza. Do you think that Peter's announcement goes against the wishes of the New Zealand general public?
Peter's announcements makes me worry that Luxon, Peters and Seymour would have been in support of things like South Africa's apartheid back in the day if they had been in government, because they're clearly out of touch with the general public, who I believe overall support genuine work towards peace and justice, Palestinian statehood, and the prevention of genocide. We saw just a couple couple of weeks ago, how tens of thousands of people marched throughout our biggest city demanding sanctions on Israel. And I do think that the government is finding themselves not just on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of, you know, where the international place is at, as well as the wrong side with the public, who I do believe would be largely against genocides occurring anywhere in the world.
Earlier, you mentioned that PETA's decision places New Zealand among a handful of countries that have chosen not to recognize Palestine. What impacts do you think that PETA's decision will have on New Zealand's reputation on the global stage?
What Winston Peters, Luxon, and Seymour are doing is placing New Zealand in a position where we are no longer going to be seen as paragons of international law, of having a strong diplomatic presence in the international stage and movements towards peace and justice. And instead, we're simply going to be seen as a nation that bows to the U.S. on the international stage, even when the U.S. is clearly disregarding international law, when the U.S. is clearly complicit in facilitating this genocide. And it tarnishes our reputation as a country that can be relied upon for strong diplomatic actions against genocides.
And what actions will the Green Party be taking in response to the government's decision not to recognize Palestine?
Our co-leader, Chloe Sorbick, has already taken action and gotten in touch with members of parliament asking them to support sanctions on Israel. But we're making it incredibly clear that we're seeking to change this government to be able to introduce sanctions on Israel, as well as introduce a recognition of Palestinian statehood as soon as we're able to get into government. All of these issues, including genocide in Gaza, the cost of living crisis and the climate crisis, are completely intertwined, because at the end of the day, it's the same system that takes away our humanity, that is allowing poverty to be rife in Aotearoa, and that does not see the inherent humanity of Palestinian peoples.
All right, moving on to the next topic. The government recently reopened applications for oil and gas exploration across the whole of Aotearoa for the first time since the practice was banned in 2018. As of last Thursday, companies are now able to apply for new exploration permits anywhere across the Motu, with Resources Minister Shane Jones additionally saying that a new open market would create simpler application tests and fewer reporting requirements for applicants. So next, I'd like to ask, what was the Green Party reaction to the government's decision to reopen oil and gas exploration here in Aotearoa?
It's straight up farcical. Not only is it poor economic management, because at the end of the day, oil and gas are not where the future of the energy sector is at, and it also takes more than a decade often for these companies to be able to go from exploration all the way to production. So we're not going to be seeing any so-called gains for quite some time, and it turns us away from meeting our climate commitments and then taking meaningful action to lower electricity bills. The government could instead be investing in renewable sources of energy and solarizing and putting solar panels on our homes, on our buildings, to lower electricity costs and create a much more resilient energy sector. And then tackling gentailers who are making humongous profits at the expense of everyday people. And this government just seems to be giving them a free pass when it comes to the fact that they're one of the reasons why energy bills are high, because they instead would rather pass those profits to shareholders as opposed to reduce electricity costs.
New Zealand was commended for the ban on oil and gas exploration in 2018 as a show of climate leadership. How do you think that the commencement of exploration will impact New Zealand's global reputation?
Well, it means that as a nation, we won't be taken seriously when it comes to climate issues. And in the Pacific, this does matter, because climate change isn't some abstract issue. It's a matter of survival for many communities. And even in cities like Auckland, we have seen what extreme weather events can cause when we have floodings like the ones we had at the beginning of 2023, which saw homes being completely wiped out, even, you know, in the neighborhood that I live in. Now there's a lot of empty lots of houses that are having to be ripped away. And so we've got to remember that all of these actions that we take towards a climate-safe future is also about addressing the cost of living crisis, about giving communities the guarantee that they won't be displaced due to issues like flooding. And this is why it's concerning that the government not only seems to be turning their backs away from our climate commitments, but also not investing on the renewable energy and climate resilient infrastructure to protect us from events like flooding.
Do you think this decision is less about securing energy, as the government has said, or more about securing the government's relationship with lobbyists and donors from the fossil fuel industry?
have seen the government completely taking sides with the fossil fuel industry to the point of giving them hundreds of millions of dollars worth of subsidies. You know, and when we couple that with the $3 billion that they have given to landlords, it really puts the question of who is this government ruling for? It clearly isn't for the majority of people, but it is ruling for a handful of CEOs who are creaming it at a time of a cost of living crisis. What is worse as well is that the fossil fuel CEOs won't be delivering genuine cost of living relief for people in this country, because we won't even be seeing the benefits of the so-called exploration for quite some time. And at the same time, we're not seeing the government putting investments in issues like renewable to the degree that we need to lower our energy bills.
And that was Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about Winston Peters' refusal to recognize Palestine at the UN General Assembly and the government's decision to reopen applications for oil and gas exploration across Aotearoa.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.